This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to ukwineshow.co.uk.
Hi, my name's Chris Scott and I'm here with Sam Doncaster. How are you, Sam?
Good, thanks, Chris. Good. Yourself?
I'm excellent. Well, almost excellent. Still got my broken shoulder, but that's all right. We won't worry about that too much. We've been talking about grafting and we've been leading up to what was going on in the vineyard, collecting the material, getting it ready. And I think we're just about to put it into the fridge for the first time.
I'll tell you a few more things about this grafting. People, as a service to the people who are establishing vineyards or possibly doing replants where a vine's died in a row of vines in a vineyard, will do grafting at different heights.
Mm.
So you can have traditional ones which effectively are like ankle height, and then you have to train up the young shoot as it grows. You can have ones which are half heights, which are quite good because then the vineyard manager can use mechanical equipment around the base of it for weed control and things like that. Or you can have one that's already up to the height of the wire and you can tie it very much in one place and it's straight and true and it grows immediately up into the high canopy.
Mm.
Different expenses, but they've got different attributes. It's just part of the service to offer which one people want.
And all you're doing here is you're having different lengths of scion and
no, rootstock. The scion is always the same. The rootstock is the one that varies.
Oh, okay, yeah. Because you always want single bud, don't you? Right on the join.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're getting a longer rootstock, which means they must be more expensive when you're reducing the amount of rootstock you can ultimately produce.
Yes.
Rathfinny, when they planted their vines out, they were quite a lot. They were actually at the wire when they planted them out.
Yes.
And they were hoping to get a crop earlier because of that.
I've watched the development of these different sort of sizes in Germany. Germany has a huge amount of history of working vineyard management and having lots of different bits of machinery. And they are able to do whatever they want. They know exactly what they're doing. Unfortunately, in a lot of English-speaking parts of the world, they haven't got the same degree of understanding.
But are you saying that they could have had a year earlier if they'd done that?
I think they could have done.
Okay, but that is the advantage of taller wood. It might be more expensive, but you might get a crop earlier.
Yes. I forget how many we've done this year as a percentage of the total amount, but it's quite a lot. I mean, if I say that you start looking at numbers into the millions and 40% a high one, that's a big number.
Okay. So we've got our plant. We've got it in some sort of peaked base, sitting upright. And we've got some vermicini, which is, I don't know what vermicini is, but I always think of it like...
It's a little granular, but porous. It sort of looks like a bit of broken down sort of old coral or something like that.
Okay. All right. And that the advantage with that is what?
It holds moisture. It
holds moisture.
But at the same time, it has ventilation spaces between it.
Okay. So it's...
And it's also inert, neutral, sterile, pretty much sterile. People use it in horticultural pot plant sort of production for its ability to hold waters and things.
Okay, so these long boxes that are filled up with plants that will develop rootstocks if they haven't necessarily got them and will have a bud that will bud into a plant. The first one's knocked off, maybe not. And they're in a polytunnel to grow, yeah?
Well, it's what we call hardening off because they've come from this environment which is maybe 30-odd degrees, plus minus a couple, and 100% humidity. They go into something which is probably only 24 degrees, getting colder at night, and it's a dry environment.
Yeah.
They're hardening off.
Before you do that, how long are they sitting in the polytunnel for?
Hopefully only 6 to 8 days.
Okay, so it's quite a short period of hardening off.
It is. If they start to grow too much, they're just losing reserves because we know
there's nothing to no nutrients.
And
is that secondary bud, has that burst now or is it
well, who knows what's happening?
Okay,
there's a whole range of things that are beginning to happen. It depends on the variety, depends on the rootstock. Sometimes there's everything's got their own little quirky differences.
Okay, but if so, you might still have that initial leaf or bud burst, or you may not, and it might be looking for a second or even tertiary one if things get knocked around a bit.
Yeah.
But you take that plant, and then you said you plant it out now.
Well, at the time that I've been doing these sort of works, looking after these ones in these sort of hot environments and some of my colleagues have been out in the field. They've cultivated the soil. It's a nice fine tilth. They've gone through again with another machine, which lays down the like plastic mulch, but it's raised up in a bed. And along the top of that bed, they also have an irrigation pipe so that there's plenty of moisture in there. Mm-hmm. And when all of this is ready, I can get all the plants out and then we can unpack them and I stack them into tubs. So the bottom section is sitting in water at about the depth that they're getting it planted in the field. And these should be left overnight, possibly 2 days in this situation. And then these people take them out.
Yeah.
Plastic's got preformed little holes in it so we can push the rootstock through and into the soil.
Yeah.
The day before, the field manager has irrigated it so it's nice and soft because it's got lots of water in there. We've got little buggies with wheels that go on either side, and you can sit on the buggies and put a box in front of you, which has got hundreds of these, and then just you kind of push backwards your feet, so like you're walking, but you're sitting on this little seat and you're pushing in these as you go.
Yes,
we have usually 14 rows, so we kind of go up one side with seven and down the other side with seven.
Yeah.
And so we have these big blocks, hopefully of all one variety.
Yep.
And then we change. All the labels are color-coded and they don't have names on, but we have records of probably somewhere around 200 combinations of variety and rootstock and clone and different supply of material. And none of it ever gets mixed up, irrespective of there's probably four different languages doing the work.
Nice. Okay. Are each grafted vine going into the ground about the same depth, irrespective of how high the rootstock
is? Yes.
So you're saying sometimes the rootstocks can be very high and sometimes they're very short?
For the ones which are a higher one, we actually have to put in little posts with a pair of wires so we can pull the wires together and clip them and to keep them all together. One of the reasons that this is really important is that as the young shoot begins to grow, if it gets too long and the wind blows, it will shake and force the head where the graft union is and break it. So we actually have to come through with a machine maybe three or four times in the summer and keep trimming it back so it doesn't develop something the wind is going to blow and break that graft union.
I don't want it too big, so there's too big a leverage on the union.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, that makes sense.
So, you know, if they're high stemmed ones, they've still got to have the graft union and that top bud all in a nice long row.
Mm-hmm.
Later in the summer, it's also quite important that when you trim it, you get new leaf growth, and the new leaf growth is more effective at photosynthesizing. It's useful, it stops the things breaking, but also it creates a more effective plant. It doubles up. Every time you cut it, it doubles up the number of new little leaves. And it all looks very pretty when you've done the good job.
And so that's growing during the summer, through the summer.
Yes.
Hopefully the roots are starting to sprout roots. You didn't mention any rooting material or anything like that, that you don't dust them in rooting mix or anything like that?
There are one or two rootstocks which will benefit from being dipped in a hormone.
Yeah.
It gives them that sort of initial start. Mm-hmm. It's really important to get roots in the ground. Ideally, we're going to be doing this, like I say, when we're confident there aren't any more frosts.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's really good to ensure that the soil temperature is definitely well above 10 degrees. Biological plant activity is, you know, doesn't happen below 10.
No, I've got 10 as my magic number.
Yeah, it is. But I mean, realistically, we want to be doing this when the ground temperature is about 15, and then they start growing really quickly.
Okay, so the plant's growing, you're chopping it down. Are you trying to make it bushy, are you, at this stage?
It happens to be bushy. We don't particularly want it to be bushy. We just don't want a really long, tall shoot that can the wind will blow over.
Okay.
They do break the graft union.
I suppose you don't need a long shoot, do you? So,
No.
So there's no need to put them on wires or anything like that to stop that?
Wires generally are a lot of extra difficult work.
Okay.
It's only temporary. They're going to come out of the ground. I mean, you know, we're going to put them in there, I'm going to say, the end of May or something, and they'll be out in October.
Let's talk about that process. So they're growing during the season. I presume you're treating them for molds and mildews if you have to, if there's a bit of dampness. You're just treating it like a normal vine, but you're not expecting any fruit.
Yeah. People go through and they take out any of the weeds. Weeds can be very aggressive at like competition for soil solution. You really want to give the vine every bit of help it can get. And there's a trimming of that and there's irrigation, and they grow probably until about the first frost. Mm-hmm. And then the leaves will just change colour and fall off. But maybe a frost doesn't come and we've got to get them out of the ground. So we can go through and trim them back and brush them with a flailing kind of brush that takes most of the leaves off.
Yep. Not the buds, though.
Not the buds, no. Just enough to take the leaf off. So this is in September, end of September, October, probably.
Okay. And how high have you got that top scion above the graft? Is it one bud, two buds, 10 buds, a whole tree? So about 8 inches.
You can actually go through and trim it with a mechanical trimmer and bring it down even further.
Yeah.
Very important when the plant in the ground that everything is at a uniform height. Mm-hmm. Because after that, all the mechanical works is a tractor. And you don't get out of the seat of a tractor for any reason. You just keep driving. There's usually two rows at once. So you've got to make sure both rows are in cooey with each other sort of thing. Yes, lifting them out of the ground. First passage, take off all the plastic mulch and the pipe, the irrigation pipe.
Is that manual, not in a tractor?
No, it's a tractor.
Really? How do you get them? The plastic just breaks up, does it?
Well, I told you there's little holes where you put the...
Yeah, yeah.
So it's effectively like a perforation all the way down.
Oh, okay.
So if you go over it and you've got two drums with hydraulic motors driving it, and they're a little bit set apart, you can lift the plastic up, pull it out to one side, and it's like a zipper, just
nice.
All the way down, from 200 meters or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it picks up the irrigation pipe and that goes out as well.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, that's the theory. Doesn't always work.
No.
But, yeah. So like another passage, going to cut the roots back.
Okay, and you've got it in a raised mulch.
Yes.
So you can easily get under the mulch. Is that what you're doing? You're getting close to the ground and just slicing the roots.
Yeah. It's a big blade. The roots at this point could be 2 meters long.
Mm.
We need to get them back to probably 20, 30 centimeters, a foot.
Are you going into the ground or just at the bottom of the mulch?
Just a little bit underneath.
Just a little bit. So you got some sort of special blade that does that and just slices it through.
Yeah. Slices it through, lifts it up onto like a little conveyor, goes through a shaker to get most of the earth off. Someone's sitting on the back of it, like a little dicky seat, and they bunch them all up. And then when they've got a big handful, they just let it all fall on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Another tractor is coming up on the row adjacent. There's a team of people who pick up the whole bunch and put it onto a pallet behind the tractor. When it's full, the tractor takes it top of the row, puts it onto a trailer. When the trailer's full, it goes back to the workshop.
Okay. And the thing about the plant at this stage is it's got numerous buds.
Yes.
It's got no leaves, but lots of buds.
Yeah.
And it's got some root capacity. So, and it's probably also got a little bit of energy stored in the roots as well, or stored in the plant as well. So it's good to go the next season. It's got what it needs.
Needs to be trimmed up. Quite a lot of work needs to be doing.
All right.
They get put in a cool storage area.
And when's this happening? Is this happening, you said October, so...
Yeah.
After harvest or before harvest?
Do you mean grapes?
And yeah, normal grapes.
Yeah, afterwards.
Afterwards,
yeah.
So if a vineyard was doing this, not that they do, but if you've got viticultural staff.
Some people do both.
They would do their normal harvest and then they'd lift up all their vines, hopefully before the first frost.
Yeah. The graft union is given a twist one way and another way to see if it's robust and strong. And it should be really strong. You cannot break it.
Yeah, it's a bit like broken bones. It actually ends up being stronger than the bone was before the break.
Yeah, okay, I can go along with that. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. As a man with a broken collarbone, that's what I'm hoping. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Okay, yeah. And then they get put onto a complex-looking but relatively simple conveyor machine that's got clips on it. And there's people sitting in seats with secateurs, and they trim back all of the growth to like just a simple two-bud spur as it goes past them, as it goes past them, another one. And they just keep trimming these. It then goes through a machine which tips it upside down, puts it into a wax,
Which part of it goes into the wax?
The head. The top? The top part.
So with the buds in them?
With the bud in it.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it could be a single 2-bud spur.
Yeah.
Even if it's grown 3 or 4 or 5, it gets taken back to 1 single shoot.
Yeah.
The roots get trimmed back to a fairly uniform and fairly short length. And then it goes into a machine which will count it, drop it into another little device which then clamps it and bundles it, and the label goes onto it. They then go out and get put into cartons, and they get a quick spray with a fungicide to just as a form of security if there's going to be any sort of fungus issues lying around the place. Obviously, in a plastic bag, in a carton, it is super moist.
Yeah.
Tight, bound, labelled, pallet, cool house.
Yep.
So all of this gets done before Christmas, and then everyone goes home.
And the plant should be dormant.
Yes.
Was it dormant in the field or growing?
Well, very, very close to dormant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then putting it in the cool house, finished. Yeah. That's in storage. And the same time that you've got that in storage, you're putting in storage the next year's grafts that you've just made. And so you need quite a lot of refrigeration space, or at least cooling.
We've got 3 cool houses which will take pallets which have stacked, he says, 1.8 meter or something, and they're 3 high.
Yeah.
And in these 3 cool houses, we have space for material for grafting, rootstock, bags of budwood. Some of the ones have been grafted and put into callusing boxes, but we don't want them to start growing. We put them back into after grafting, after packing these boxes, they go into the cool house. We have another cool house which has got the plants from November, December,
yeah,
going through to April, May. And then we have another cool house for other material we might be handling.
All right then, Sam, I think we'll wrap it up there. Next week, we'll just look at the final step, which is getting the vines into the ground.
Good.